Thank God. It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to worship with you. And I text Brother Brad this afternoon because I wanted to see what the numbers were for the month of April. And 15 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and 7 baptized in Jesus' name in the month of April. I think that's worthy of a hand clap of praise. We thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of your Spirit. That is a great month here for Apostolic Pentecostal Church, and I believe that can happen in the month of May as well. Amen. I think that should be a regular thing around here, actually. Do you believe that? Amen. Thank God for what he's doing around here and pouring out his Spirit. Well, we're going to continue the lesson series, Following Christ's Legacy. And tonight I'm going to be talking on G.T. Haywood. And I will be just up front here, I'll be referencing material from the book, The Life and Writings of G.T. Haywood, and the Apostolic Archives. I've got some pictures and some things that I've pulled from there and information from there. So G.T. Haywood is one of the greatest pioneers of the Oneness Pentecostal movement, and he is one of the early pioneers of this Oneness heritage. He was born July 15th, 1880, in Greencastle, Indiana. And his full name, I've always heard G.T. Haywood. I never really knew what his name was, but it is Gladstone Thomas Haywood. And after studying and reading some references in that, it seems that a lot of his friends and peers called him Tom, actually. So Gladstone Thomas Haywood, and they called him his middle name and shortened it up to Tom. But I won't refer to him as Tom tonight. I'll probably refer to him as Haywood or G.T. Haywood. In his early teen years, while in high school, he discovered the talent of cartooning and sketching. He liked to draw quite a bit. And then later in his years, he used the talent for sketching many pictures and tracks and slides that he used in his ministry, and I'm going to show you some of those later on in the lesson. After high school, he got his first job with a newspaper, and this job did not turn out to what he was looking for. He was trying to get into that cartooning and drawing sketches for the newspaper, and he wasn't able to really do that or like he wanted to do that. So he quit that job, and he went to work for an iron foundry to help support his family. He said later on in some of his writings that he thinks that the hand of the Lord was on him in that, and that he didn't get that job working for that newspaper, wasn't doing the cartooning, because he thought that he would have been so immersed in that, doing what he loved and wanted to do, that he might not have been open to following after God and following after the will of God. So he thinks that God orchestrated that in his life. Though G.T. Haywood was raised properly in a Christian home, his talents lay dormant and unused in his life. I want you to make special note of this. The Lord had prepared a man, Otis Barber, with a life-changing message. The Lord had prepared this man. In February 1908, Otis Barber stepped into G.T. Haywood's life. Otis had just visited a Pentecostal service, a Pentecostal church, and he had been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he began to speak with other tongues. Otis, ecstatic about what had just happened in his life, went to G.T. Haywood and began to talk to him and tell him about this power of God that he received in his life, about speaking in other tongues and being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I think that was brave of Otis to do that. G.T. had never heard of that, and Otis wasn't ashamed, and he wanted to tell. You know how new converts are. When somebody first received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, man, they want to tell everybody. I've got a funny story about my Uncle Dan. I'll tell you later on if you want to come see me. But he wanted to tell everybody he came in contact with about Jesus and what he had done in his life. So Otis Barber was that same way. He got a hold of G.T. Haywood, and he told him about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And we learn that conviction gripped a hold of Haywood's heart, and he made up in his mind and told Otis, I am going to receive the Holy Ghost too. I want it. And so Haywood decided that he was going to go and attend this Pentecostal service with Otis Barber. Now, his wife and his sister decided and planned on attending as well. Their intentions weren't like Haywood's intentions, though. They said, we're going to go and we're going to watch you seek for the Holy Ghost. We don't want it, really. We don't want to seek after it. We're going to go and we're going to watch you seek after this Holy Ghost and watch you speak with tongues. So they went with G.T. Haywood and attended that Pentecostal service. So they all three went to the service, and this service was at a tin shop that they converted into a church. This church was led by Elder Henry Prentice, who had received the Holy Ghost at the Azusa Street Mission in Los Angeles. So he was holding these services. He had received it there at Azusa Street, and he was holding these services. So the three attended, and at the conclusion of the sermon, Otis Barber asked Haywood, won't you come and get the Holy Ghost tonight, Tom? That's pretty direct. Won't you come and get the Holy Ghost tonight, Tom? And G.T., I won't call him Tom, but G.T. Haywood said, yes, I will. So G.T. Haywood stepped out and made his way to an old-fashioned altar. The power of God fell on him, and the burden of guilt and sin was washed away. The blood of Calvary's Lamb had done its cleansing work. No wonder when Haywood looked back to that sin-cleansing experience that night, he could write the song, Thank God for the Blood. Does anybody know that song? I printed that out because I didn't know the verses, but I'm going to say those here. I told my wife I was going to sing tonight or have a song, and she said, are you going to do it? And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll read you the words, all right? I'll spare you. And sin, I wandered sore and sad with bleeding heart and aching head, till Jesus came and sweetly said, I'll take your sins away. And you know the chorus. Why don't you sing it with me? Can you do that? Start us out, Sister Christy. Thank for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. That washes white as snow. Well, we can thank G.T. Haywood. We can thank that experience that he had that night at that Pentecostal service, experiencing the blood of Jesus Christ, washing his sins away, and he penned that famous song that we still sing sometimes here today. I think that something that stuck out to me about Otis Barber was he was not ashamed of what happened to him in his life. He was excited about what happened. He was excited about this Holy Ghost. And even though he had invited G.T. Haywood to come to that service, he could have said, Tom, come and sit in this Pentecostal service and you can receive the Holy Ghost. He could have done that. He did do that. He invited him. But when the preacher was done preaching, he went back to him and he got him and he said, won't you receive the Holy Ghost tonight? He had faith that he could receive the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm not going to let my friend walk out this door without receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I think that's pretty good. I don't think that we should be afraid or ashamed to invite somebody to an altar of repentance and invite them to the greatest thing that they could experience in the world, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So while Haywood was receiving the Spirit and having a Holy Ghost experience, Otis Barber returned back to invite Haywood's wife and sister to the front so they could have this experience too. And they declined. They declined to go to the front. They didn't want to go with him. But you know what happened? What happens a lot of times in this Pentecostal service? The power of God was moving in the service. And in just a few minutes, it fell on those two ladies in the back of the church. And they fell out into the aisle, and they received the Holy Ghost and began speaking with other tongues. Thank God for what happened to them. You know, I think that many times people walk into a church service. Brother Brad preached about that Sunday morning, about how you may not have came in this place expecting anything from God. I think that happens a lot of times. People don't really know what to expect. They're like these two ladies. They're going to come and they're going to check it out and they're going to see what's going on and see what's happening. But when the power of God begins to move, when the Holy Ghost begins to move, anything can happen. And these ladies felt the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and he poured out his Spirit upon them. Now, I said I think it'd be all right earlier to go back and invite somebody if they want to come and pray in the altar. I think that's fine. Sometimes you're going to get a G.T. Haywood, and he's going to say, let's go. Other times you might get somebody that says, no, I don't want to do that, and that's fine too. God can touch them right where they're at. You don't have to push them, but God can do a great work in their life. Thank God for Otis Barber, who was not ashamed but was excited about what God has done in his life, and he had to share it. I hope we never lose that excitement of what God has done in our life. I know a lot of times we talk about these new converts that are just on fire and they want to share it with everybody. In June the 27th, I'll have received the Holy Ghost 23 years ago. I want to be just as excited as I was 23 years ago. I remember when I got the Holy Ghost, I got on the phone and I wanted to call everybody. It was at Gateway College, Brother Reaver. I was at children's camp, and we went down the street to Steak and Shake to celebrate it, and it was a wonderful thing, and God did a marvelous thing in my life. I want that same excitement in my life to bubble out of me so that I can tell everybody and anybody what God did for me and what he can do for them. Haywood was working in the foundry, in this iron foundry, and a heavy sheet of iron fell on his foot. This accident caused him to be taken home, and he remained at home for a while as he was not able to walk. During this time of him being at home, he felt like God was calling him into the ministry. His wife was pretty blatant about it, and she said that she didn't want to be married to a preacher. So with his wife feeling that way, he kind of backed off and really didn't know what he wanted to do. But then he made the decision, and he called on the Lord, and he told the Lord, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. So in 1909, Haywood founded Christ Temple Church. The first church Haywood pastored was a small frame building at 12th and Missouri in Indianapolis. I think I have the slide for that. 12th and Missouri in Indianapolis, Indiana. Brother Reaver and I were talking about this earlier, but in the early days of Pentecostalism, churches were not generally named. Pentecostals were determined not to lapse into formalism of denominations. So a lot of churches weren't known by their name, but they were known by their location. Thus, this church was known as 12th and Missouri in Indianapolis. And the first thing that came to mind, I ran this by Brother Reaver, but the first thing that came to mind was 13th and Gravois, right? And then there's a little thing here, Brother Reaver, that says 11th and Hickory. So I guess that was the case there. That a lot of times when I've talked to different people in our movement, say, where do you go to church? Apostolic Pentecostal Church. It's more known now, but a lot of people, you say 13th and Gravois, and boy, they knew right exactly what you were talking about. So that was the case with this first church that he pastored. It was called Christ Temple Church, but it was known as 12th and Missouri. So Haywood's influence crossed a lot of ethnic boundaries, and by 1913, Christ Temple had a biracial congregation of 400 to 500 people, which later grew to 1,500. And they outgrew that small church, and a new building was erected. Now, I've got a slide here of a tent that they used for service. While they were building Christ's temple, they had service in that tent. I don't know if they had multiple services. It doesn't look like they can get that many people in there, 400 or 500, but this is the tent that they used for having services. And then I've got another picture of G.T. Haywood. They were breaking ground for Christ's temple for that new building. And they have a, they did build this large building called Christ's Temple. Now I looked and looked and looked, and they've done a lot of remodels, and I could not find that first church that they built. There's some other ones that were updated that resembled it, so I didn't put those on here, but I did come across a couple of pictures that I thought were pretty interesting. The next one here is the pulpit that was in, that first pulpit that was in Christ's Temple Church that G.T. Haywood preached from. And then there is, the next slide is a chair. That's the captain chair. The captain chair that G.T. Haywood sat in at Christ Temple Church. So I thought that was pretty neat that they had pictures of those things from back then. In 1915, Haywood heard about Jesus' name baptism, but he was opposed to it. He heard about it, but he had been taught otherwise. But God had more men prepared for this hour. It seems like when we need something from God, he's got something prepared or somebody prepared to speak into our lives. I have a picture of the next gentleman. His name is Frank Ewart, and he had convinced an outstanding evangelist to accept this Jesus name message. Frank was a Baptist missionary, and this is really neat. He attended a Pentecostal camp meeting in Portland, Oregon, where he converted to Pentecostalism. And when he did this, that resulted in him being dismissed by the Baptist church. So this evangelist that Frank met, his name was Glenn Cook. Now, there's a lot of information about Glenn Cook, and he's not the person I'm talking about tonight, so I'm not going to go into all the details of Glenn Cook, but Glenn Cook, from what I understand, was an outstanding evangelist. And Glenn Cook, after talking with Frank, was convinced that this Jesus name baptism was the only way to be baptized, and so he decided that he was going to go to the east and begin preaching God's word and the truth of God's word, which is being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, as we learned last week, Brother Reaver made mention that this Jesus name baptism was called the new issue and was shunned by many Pentecostal ministers. In fact, the Assembly of God leaders sounded a warning to stay clear of what they termed the new issue heresy. Nevertheless, Glenn Cook found hungry hearts, and on March 6, 1915, L.V. Roberts and his entire congregation, would you throw that slide up? L.V. Roberts and his entire congregation gathered at the edge of Eagle Creek for a baptismal service. When I came across this and started reading the history of this, that this man was baptized and his entire congregation was baptized, something got a hold of me. That is powerful, that not just the pastor, not just one man was baptized, but his entire congregation saw the revelation of Jesus' name baptism, and they said, we want to be baptized that way. So this Glenn Cook, you can leave that up there for just a minute. Glenn Cook, the evangelist, was preaching, and he's the one who spoke to him about Jesus' name baptism. And then there was another man. His name was Homer White. He also was a pastor of a church, and Glenn Cook talked to him. And he was baptized in Jesus' name, and his entire congregation was also baptized in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but that excites me that entire congregations were baptized in Jesus' name. Now, I said that to say this. There are entire congregations and pastors right now in 2019 being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's happening. It didn't happen just in 1915, but it is happening in our day and age. As I was reading this and reading the history of this happening, something just came over me that said, that could happen. That could happen. That could happen around us. And my day job, I'm a sign salesman. And I deal with a lot of churches. In fact, weekly probably, I deal with churches wanting to get new signs. And something just clicked in my mind. One of those pastors you're talking with, there could be a door open that God could give a revelation to them. And they could be baptized in his name and their entire congregation. I believe that could happen. Now, we're talking about a pastor and entire congregations. But people that you come in contact with, friends and family members could just get the seed planted and God could give them revelation of this Jesus name baptism and you could see them come. Oh, I'm excited about revival that's here and the revival that's coming. Would you lift your hands and thank God for what he's doing right now? Lord, I thank you for the revival that's happening all over this world. I pray, God, that that same revival would happen in this city and in this state. I pray, God, that you would use us, that we would be your mouthpiece, that we would have boldness in the Holy Ghost to speak your word. God, let us be sensitive and available to speak what you might say in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. The restoration of the true message that was preached on the day of Pentecost and Peter preached in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was ready to sweep across the nation at this time, and it began to sweep across the nation. It was shortly after this baptismal service that Haywood received a dire warning against this from J. Roswell Flowers. He was the general secretary of the Assemblies of God. Flowers had not accepted this message and did not want his friend G.T. Haywood to accept it either. So he wrote him and said and warned him about this new issue, heresy, that was going around. And Haywood answered and replied to that letter, "Your warning came too late. I have already accepted the message, and I have already been rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Thank God for that. So Glenn Cook had already been to Haywood's home and showed him the Jesus name message. At first, Haywood was unwilling to accept it. When Glenn Cook got into his home and was trying to tell him about Jesus name baptism, Haywood didn't want to have anything to do with it. He'd already heard, I'm sure, about this issue that was going around. But you know what happened to Haywood? The Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him, and he obeyed what the Lord said to him. He and his entire congregation at that time was 465 members at that point were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. My mind went to that scripture. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God always honors hungry hearts. God always fills hungry hearts. What this history tells me is that there was a man, G.T. Haywood, a pastor nonetheless, that had his doctrine all figured out. But as this evangelist came into his home and began to share with him the word of the Lord, he was hungry for what God was speaking into his life. And because he was hungry for God, God was able to give him this revelation of the Jesus name baptism. You know, there are people that you and I are going to talk to that may reject this message at first. Maybe have. But I just have to believe that there are some more G.T. Haywoods out there that are hungry for more. If they are hungry, God will give them the revelation. Don't be ashamed to share the word of God and the truth of God. Listen to me, church. We're called to be disciple makers and to preach this gospel or to share the gospel. That's what we're required to do. We can't make anybody do it. But our job is to plant the seed. And that's what Glenn Cook was doing. He was planting the seed. That's all he could do. He couldn't force them. He couldn't force them to be baptized. He could plant the seed. But when he plants the seed and he's hungry and that ground is fertile, then God brings the increase. The power of God and his spirit brings the revelation. And that's what's going to happen when you begin to plant the seed. When we begin to talk to people about this new birth experience, repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and infilling of the Holy Ghost, they might say, I don't want nothing to do with that. In fact, I've had people say that. Have you had people say that to you? I don't know about all that. That's all right. We're not gonna force them and grab them and make them come to the altar, but we're going to plant the seed, the Word of God, and we're going to let God give the increase. So there was much opposition in the assembly of God to the Jesus name message. It was evident that a showdown was going to happen between the Trinitarians and these new oneness ministers that believed in the oneness truth. So this showdown took place at the Fourth General Council held, I thought this was pretty neat, held right here in St. Louis on October 1916. G.T. Haywood was an outstanding spokesman of the oneness movement. However, a Trinitarian creed had already been worked up by the executive board. And in spite of the opposition, and there was quite a bit, in fact, a quarter of the ministers that attended that meeting opposed this Trinitarian creed. But in spite of that, they went ahead and adopted that creed. So at that point in the conference, the creed was adopted and 156 oneness ministers walked out at what was now the Trinity Movement. G.T. Haywood, along with L.V. Roberts, who was baptized and his entire congregation was baptized, were among those who walked out. Seeing that 156 of those ministers were leaving, a new organization of Oneness Pentecostals was formed, and this new organization was called the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. This new organization chose G.T. Haywood as the general secretary, and he served in that position for quite a while. Although at this time this organization considered mostly colored churches, it served for a long time as the largest oneness organization in the United States. G.T. Haywood served as general secretary of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, and he traveled extensively and was constantly in demand as a Bible teacher. Then he served as presiding bishop of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World from 1925 to 1931. Because of his great leadership abilities, Haywood was very much liked and respected, even by those who bitterly opposed his strong stand on the new birth message. And I think that we can learn from that. He was well-liked and well-respected even when people absolutely disagreed with what he had to say. That tells me that he didn't take the Bible and smack them over the head. He didn't say, well, if you don't believe that, then I don't have nothing to do with you. I'm not going to have nothing to do with you. No, there was some character, some good character that was involved there. And these men, these preachers, respected him and honored him. I think we should take note of that. Just because somebody doesn't agree with everything that we have to say doesn't mean that we have to cut them off. We can still befriend them. We can still love them. And we can still plant the seed. Haywood is remembered for his inspiring songs that are in his songbook, Bridegroom Songs. Do you have that songbook, Brother Reaver? Does it? Every song that he wrote seems to be centered around evangelism and heaven. G.T. Haywood was a soul winner. And because of that longing to see souls saved, it's no coincidence that the church he pastored grew to be the largest church and the oneness organization. Evangelism was at the very heart of G.T. Haywood. It was the heartthrob of his life. A vital part of this man's ministry was fasting and prayer. It was after a week of fasting and prayer that he penned the song, "I See a Crimson Stream of Blood." I won't sing that for you, and I won't have you sing that, but I am going to say some of the words here. On Calvary's hill of sorrow, where sin's demands were paid, and rays of hope for tomorrow across our path were laid. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. Today no condemnation abides to turn away. My soul from his salvation, he's in my heart to stay. When gloom and sadness whisper, "You've sinned, no use to pray," I look away to Jesus and he tells me to say. And when we reach this portal where life forever reigns, the ransom host's grand final will be this glad refrain. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. After he had spent a week of fasting and prayer, he penned that song, and he stepped to the pulpit after that season of prayer, and he began to sing that song. A new vision of Calvary gripped the hearts of everyone who heard it. Sinners and saints alike wept their way to the altar. This man was a great man of evangelism and loved God. Evangelism and songwriting were a portion of Hayward's ministry. He also made use of his artistic talent and the drawing of the charts he used for his teaching ministry. I've got some of those. We'll just run through them real quick, Amber. So he drew this here. He used that when he was teaching on the tabernacle. Remember, he liked to draw when he was in high school and got that job with the paper, but it didn't really work out. Then later on in his ministry, he began to draw these different things. The next slide, please. This was a chart of how he was teaching about creation in that. Next one, please. He was teaching, he wrote a, and you can't really see it, I can barely see it on this bottom right, but it's signed there, GTH, GT Haywood. And this was a timeline that he was teaching on the Israelites. Is there another one? Yeah, he was teaching again about the tabernacle. And this was a track actually from 1913 that he had drawn up. Is there any more, Amber? Nope. All right. So the far-reaching effects of G.T. Haywood is no better illustrated than in a letter received by Sister Ethel Urshan upon the death of her husband, Andrew Urshan. This letter was written by Austin Brown on November 11, 1967, to offer sympathy and consolation to Sister Urshan. It says this: "During the early days of Pentecost, when in the High Plains panhandle country of Texas, we seldom had a Pentecostal minister come our way. We depended on Bible and books and other Christian publications of Elder Urshan and G.T. Haywood. Through them, we were settled and grounded in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Though both of these pioneers have departed this life, their ministry lives on and the great outreach of their written ministry." These people in that time were depending on G.T. Haywood and Brother Urshan to write these publications and send them out to help them grab a hold and be firm in their faith. In 1932, G.T. Haywood passed from this life. This beloved man was respected by all who knew him. The funeral service was the largest in history for that city. Many came from across the country to pay their tribute to this great warrior of the cross. And just a few things that I've noted while studying the life of G.T. Haywood, some of these things I talked about, but there are hungry hearts that are looking for more. There were three pastors and their entire congregations that received the revelation of truth. There were hungry hearts and that day, and there are hungry hearts in this day. I don't have time to go into the whole story about my dad, but my dad came here, went to a Trinitarian Bible College, and in study of the scripture, he found that he needed to be baptized in Jesus' name, went to the professors, and they said, be quiet, Mike, quit stirring it up, Mike, but he was hungry. And God was sending his revelation to him and into his life. So if there are hungry hearts, God is going to fill them. The hungry shall be filled. Amen? Second thing, there were men that God used to initiate this great work in their life. We must be open and willing to answer the call of God, to walk through the ministry doors that God opens. We must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I've heard that scripture ever since I've been a boy. Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That means that when you get in a situation with somebody that either believes or doesn't believe, you're not ashamed to tell them about what Jesus has done for you. A lot of times I think we get hesitant because of our flesh. Maybe some of us don't really have that outgoing personality to do it, but don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed of what God has done in your life. You don't have to grab them and bring them to an altar, but you can tell them about what God has done for you and what God can do for them. Even if they don't convert or believe what we are speaking, our character should stay in check. That's something we learned from G.T. Haywood. Even though he believed something different than they believed, they still honored and they still respected him. He was a man of character. We should have that same character as well. And lastly, would you stand with me? Lastly, I'm in awe that God would take ordinary people and use them for his glory. He started way before G.T. Haywood and started this process for G.T. Haywood to see all these revelations. But G.T. Haywood was open and hungry and receptive as well as those other pastors and a lot of these other ministers that we're going to learn about. I don't know about you, but I want to be used by God. I want to be open and receptive and sensitive to whatever God wants to do in my life. So in closing tonight, would you mind lifting your hands? And I think we could pray that prayer. Lord, if you can use anybody, you can use me. Lord, I thank you for your word and the power of your word. I thank you for your spirit and the change that has brought into our lives. I pray, God, that you would give us a Holy Ghost boldness to share your gospel and to share your truth. I pray, God, that you would open doors for us this week to be able to share that truth. God, we want to step into the door that you're opening. We want to be sensitive. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon us. Give us the words to speak and say. We thank you for what you're doing in this church and what you're doing in this city. In the name of Jesus. Now would you mind clapping your hands and praising him? Lord, we give you great praise. We honor you and we lift you up. We magnify your great name. Amen. Thank you for being so attentive tonight. We will have church on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. We have our special speaker, Brother Linder, that's going to be here. Come back expecting God to move. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.